Well, first, let me begin by saying what a great pleasure it is to be here with you, Pastor Scott, and with all of you on this very special celebration of installation, an opportunity for us to gather in partnership with one another and to recognize that we're called to do community in Christ together, right? It's wonderful to be here, and I greet you on behalf of your sisters and brothers across the South Carolina Synod. It's always my joy to bring that greeting from congregation to congregation, because as we worship together and gather around word and sacrament, we recognize that we are all joined to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Bow your heads with me and let's have a word of prayer. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations in our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as I work in call process, and some of you know I've been doing call process even when I was an assistant to the bishop, so it's been a little over 15 years now that I've had the privilege of working in the call process and seeing how the Spirit moves in and among us. When I work in this process, there's various images from Scripture that help guide me and help me think about what the Spirit might be up to. One of those images is when we catch a glimpse of the Lord's garment in Isaiah, and we know that we're not seeing the whole picture of God, but we get a tiny little picture, and we get a sense that God is present with us. A sighting, a small sighting, though, of the Holy One, a glimpse of how we're called to be in presence with God in this process. I also love to imagine holy ground, such as Moses found when he went up the mountain and he saw the burning bush and recognized he was in the presence of God. I'm quite enamored with that image, primarily because I don't particularly like to wear shoes. So it's kind of nice to know that there's some precedent for taking your shoes off and recognizing that you're standing on holy ground. I also imagine an image that's not from Scripture, but from doctrine. And that's the dance of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit moving in sync with one another, dancing together to stir up the church, to raise up leaders, and to draw us together in community. When I talk with councils and call committees and pastors even, I use these images to remind all of us that while we each have a part in the process, none of us is in charge of the process. We simply follow the steps of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who leads us in the dance, the one who keeps the beat and breathes new life into our fellowship as Christ's church working together. It is my true delight to be with you here today for this special event and to officiate at the start of your ministry dance with one another as parish and pastor. As you covenant with one another, you are picking up and carrying on the beat and the rhythm of the Holy One who leads us. You're in partnership with one another to build community in Christ Jesus, not just to hunker down and stay here and be happy in community right here, but also to think about how am I in partnership with the Spirit that sends me out to share the good news of Jesus Christ in the community. In Mark's gospel for this afternoon, this is one of my favorite gospel texts, we hear the audacious request from the sons of Zebedee. I get a little sarcasm in my head when I hear them ask this question. Jesus, we have a special favor to ask of you. Grant us to sit one at your right and one at your left when you come into your glory. And then, I love this because it's so human, right? In any group, the rest of the folks hear about it. They get the rumors, the rumor mill's been working, and they find out what James and John have been asking for, and a ruckus ensues. And they're all upset about it, and they go to Jesus, and they're at each other's throats about it. Can you not just imagine that whole scene? Happens whenever we're in community, I think. It sounds to me like Jesus is managing a bunch of toddlers whose brains have not fully developed. Mark's gospel paints a picture for us over and over again of the disciples who do not fully get it. They don't seem to understand who it is that they're following. Do you remember when Jesus says, "Who do people say that I am?" And then Peter brilliantly answers, "You are the Messiah." Peter knows that Jesus is the Messiah, but if we follow Peter just a little bit further, a few more verses, we find out that he doesn't exactly know what that means, that Jesus is Messiah. Peter's got some preconceived notions about what Messiah is, something he's learned all along in his childhood, and he hasn't been able to stretch himself into his adulthood. James and John obviously get that Jesus is the real deal, but they don't understand the nature of the deal, do they? At least according to our scripture. Constantly, the disciples in Mark put their feet in their mouth. I find it interesting that the passion predictions in Mark, including this third one, are bookended by stories of Jesus healing the blind. We have to go back to chapter 8 to find the first story of healing, but it's definitely a memorable one. Jesus actually has to heal the blind man twice in chapter 8. Do you remember that one? You're scowling, Pastor. You don't remember that one? I know you do. Jesus puts saliva on his hands and he touches the blind man's eyes, and then he pulls his hands away and he says, "What do you see?" And the man says, "I see people, but they look like trees walking." So then Jesus puts his hands on him again, and then he sees clearly. I don't know. I find it comforting to know that sometimes Jesus may need to do a do-over. Right? That Jesus at least needs to keep trying. It speaks to real life for me. Things don't always work out the way we think they should or they could. And perhaps we need to reassess and try again. The great news story for us, though, is that those who love doing ministry in community learn that we are doing ministry with one another. It reminds us that to work together, we have to consider different perspectives in order to see things clearly. Ministry is not a solo act in isolation. You see, the church of Jesus Christ is always called into community. And the kingdom of God is for all of God's beloved. There's lots of ideas and perspectives that need to be considered when we're working together to build up the kingdom. So we have Jesus healing the blind man in chapter 8. And then scattered throughout the next two chapters are three predictions of his passion, which of course lead to the resurrection. And we know that the resurrection is a whole new life and a whole new way of living. And in these chapters, we also have several examples of disciples who just don't seem to get it. And then that's followed by another story of Jesus healing the blind man. All these body parts involved, witnessing to our Savior. Eyes that don't seem to see, ears that can't translate into understanding. The challenge, it seems, is to have the disciples a different image, or the challenge is that the disciples have a different image in their minds about Jesus, about God, and about faith, and about how it all works together. They haven't been able to understand that God's dominion is completely different from the world order that they have known or expected. They seem to desire power and significance. Certainly that's something we hear directly from James and John today. They want to know that they really matter. But the steps of this dance are all different. Jesus teaches that significance doesn't come from elevated status, but from the ways that we serve others, by the ways that we care for one another. Jesus' followers are made into a new family, created to be an alternative community, called in a community where the grace of God and the love of Jesus Christ are central, where word and water, bread and wine, body and blood are shared, where forgiveness is offered, and where Christ transforms our lives. Where the first are willing to go last, so the last may be first. Jesus teaches us a whole new way of dancing if we pay attention, and if we pay attention also to the Trinity. So the scriptures challenge us, and they remind us that with Jesus we're called to move differently than the way the world moves. And we're called to move together with one another and to proclaim Christ as Lord of our lives and Lord of the dance. Now, I hate to confess this to you, but I'm really not much of a dancer. I've got two left feet. However, I'm mesmerized. Maybe some of you are too. I'm mesmerized when I see a couple dancing on the dance floor with that beautiful elegance and grace as they move across the floor. And yet, even without any skill, I know that Jesus invites me into the dance of faith and community. In fact, Jesus invites each and every one of us. Now, here's something I learned a long time ago. I think you might relate to it, or at least maybe you've heard of it. I heard about the hokey pokey and how it got started. Anybody here know how the hokey pokey supposedly got started? No? Well, you're in for a treat. There's an old story that an Anglican priest claimed that the dance movements of the hokey pokey were a parody of the traditional mass, which came from when the priest would say, "Hoc est corpus mundi," meaning, "This is my body." Now, as you can imagine, with any theory, there are those who refute it. And many, many refute it. They say, that's not the way the hokey pokey got started. I'm not sure which story is true, and honestly, I'm not sure it really matters. But what does matter is the message that it seems to have for us. You know the hokey pokey? I can't see you all. You know it? You put your right hand in, then what do? Put your right hand out. You put your right hand in and what? You shake it all about, right? Then you do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around and that's what it's all about, right? And then you put your left arm and your right foot and your left foot and your head and all that kind of nonsense, right? But here's the best line. It's an important line. I want y'all to remember it. Pastor, I want you to remember it especially. You put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. You put your whole self in and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey and you turn yourself around. And that's what it's all about. Putting our whole self in. It's a great image for the body of Christ and for a community that's called to dance together, to move with the stirring of the Spirit, with Trinity as the one who teaches us the dance to make Christ known and to share Jesus' love. So here's my prayer for you today, my friends. I pray that your dance together as pastor and parish will carry on the beat and the rhythm of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Put your whole selves into this relationship. Dance together and make the grace of God and the love of Jesus truly visible from this place, that the whole community can see it and know that they are invited and welcomed to join. In the name of Jesus, amen.